Monogamish contains content intended for mature audiences. The views expressed here are for entertainment purposes only. Please enjoy the show.
Hi, I'm Justina.
And I'm Kenji.
And we're monogamish. Woohoo, babe!
I know, we got that one this time.
Third time's the charm.
I got you on that one.
Today we have Sante and Vera joining us. I'm really excited about this conversation.
Me too. This is the first time meeting them, so thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, Sante, absolutely. We're really looking forward to hearing about all the stuff that you have going on behind the scenes. But first, we want to get started getting to know you guys a little bit better. So sure. Tell us how you guys are engaged, correct?
We are.
5 years.
Yeah, well, we haven't been engaged for 5 years. We got engaged over Memorial weekend.
Congratulations.
You know, and it's a COVID-based engagement, I guess. No, we reconnected earlier this year. My dog and my dad both died.
We
hadn't really connected in a while. And, you know, like a lot of lifestyle relationships, we kind of been through ups and downs and we're seeing other people at one point, but really reconnected earlier this year and just realized the love was still there like it always had been, and you know, tried to be friends and not be intimate.
And I gave him toilet paper.
Oh, there you go. All right.
The COVID times equivalent of drug deals. Right?
Yes, yeah. Right.
I'm like, oh, she gave me toilet paper. She really does love me.
What kind of food did you give her for the toilet paper?
Italian.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. It's a big sausage, you know? Right?
Open mouth.
There you go.
But, yeah, we quickly rediscovered that we were still very much in love and said, well, this is silly. Let's just do this.
And especially with this, you know, with this year itself, if you didn't have somebody, you know, that person to be able to come home to, it can get very lonely, you know, in these times, in COVID times, even for us lifestyle people, because it put a damper on all of our events, on, you know, obviously groups and getting together. And it was quite scary for quite some time.
I know, especially losing your dad and your dog.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, you know?
I mean, and it's, honestly, loneliness wasn't an issue. I mean, I've got a lot of really amazing friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
But COVID really helped prioritize what was important, I think, for a lot of people,
not
just
100%.
Me. Especially with the event and art industry, you know, a lot of that, and clubs closing. It just really, as an event host, I had to focus on something else. For a while, because it wasn't going to happen this year. You know, and us reconnecting at the same time really, really put a lot of that back in focus, too. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. So, Vera, before him, were you in the lifestyle?
I met him in the lifestyle because I was searching for something. I was married for 10 years, and he cheated and thought it was normal. And even his family was like, oh, sweetie, you know, just get a new car, get some, And I was like, no, this is not okay. I'm not happy. And at the same time, I was not getting sex. So I was like, I'm a sex-starved wife, and that's not okay. And we were just talking about the ethical slut, and I like sex. So I was looking for sex with someone who can be honest in my face and talk about things. So
his family thought a car could fix a dead bedroom, dishonesty, a lack of communication, all of that?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And so, and he was cheating, but not giving it up at home, you know?
Yeah, no, I was just a wife, and and that was my role.
Right.
But not in the bedroom. I was just the housewife.
Wow.
And I met Sante in one of his events. I was DJing. He was DJing. I was dancing, and I just... Yeah, so I was in the lifestyle looking for something.
I love it.
And the seas parted, and right? It was kind of like that, though. We've had ridiculous chemistry since the very beginning.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Oh, that's awesome.
I love it.
That's wonderful to hear. That's what really it's all about, is finding happiness, whether it's traditional or not.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys are planning on having a regular wedding, or... What's the goal?
You know, we've talked about that. We're not in a hurry because both of us have been married before to plan a wedding. We went to Cancun to see her family recently and talked about, well, you know, a beach wedding in Cancun would be cool.
Oh, yeah.
But something that both our American friends and her Mexican family and friends would be comfortable going to. We talked about just eloping to Vegas or, you know.
If I think of wedding, the only thing I miss, I just know what I want for food. Everything else has stressed me out so much. And so I'm pretty think we're just going to have like a lot of parties.
Oh.
And now it'll be like engagement party.
Yeah, so if you missed our Vegas wedding, well, we're doing another one in Cancun in 3 months, so you guys can come to that one. And then, we'll be in Thailand next spring, so, you know, that's an option, too.
Are you just bouncing around the world trying just all new around. Cuisines or what?
I mean, we know we want to travel, and that's just part of one of the things we're aligned on. So, you know, it's conceivable we could go renew our vows in a lot of different places over the years. But
that was definitely us, too. Yeah. We're travelaholics. That was probably the biggest downside of COVID for us is not being able to fly and travel.
Well, we were talking earlier about my wife, you know, in her car accident, and she, 2 weeks after COVID started, she got cleared to fly and to drive and to go anywhere.
To even go for
and
a walk.
So, and so now she's like, I get to go someplace, and I'm stuck at home. You know, and we're just like, I'm sorry. Do you want to go walk around the park? You know, she's like, no, no.
The park in New York City, Central Park. Take me there, please.
Right.
I'll walk around all day. I know we all have to be patient. I can't complain. I just thought it was funny when we were about 2 weeks into quarantine and everybody was like, oh, this is horrible. You know, this sucks. And I'm like, I've been doing this for 2 damn years. I haven't been able to walk. I haven't been able to drive. I haven't been able to fly. It was my home. You know, it was getting out of bed, going to the doctor, coming back.
Yeah.
And so it definitely put things in perspective, and it made the quarantine much easier for us because we'd already been living that way for so long.
Yeah.
So the biggest impact, travel, definitely.
Yeah.
And lifestyle travel, because lifestyle travel is huge.
Oh, it's, so many events are going on hold. And, I mean, Naughty New Orleans is now, I think, happening in November.
Right.
But they've moved it twice already, and they've done a couple of virtual Naughties online. And I just feel for them, like, because I know what's involved with putting an event like that together.
Right.
And having to go back and renegotiate the hotel contracts over and over and over again and let your folks who are excited or not excited, you know, very polarized on these issues, having to make announcements around that constantly. I can't even imagine. And there's just so many businesses that have gone under because of this as well.
A lot.
And artists and performers and DJs, you know, who were impacted by this. And that was their only livelihood. And now what are they doing?
Oh, my gosh. We've known quite a few people like that.
So what has it done for you? You've transitioned a lot of your business, it sounds like.
We have. Menage is strictly, right now we are strictly virtual through the end of the year.
Okay. Explain what Menage Life is.
Yeah. So Menage is a sex positive event community. So we've been doing events. I've been hosting events for about 17 years in the lifestyle. Started in the swinger lifestyle, and it's evolved over time to include really any sex positive communities, but focused around connections, fulfilling fantasies, you know, meeting people, meetups. And we've been doing mansion parties the last year very successfully, and it's kind of become our niche. But obviously with COVID, it's hard to do that kind of stuff right now. So we've moved really everything virtually. And we're doing weekly virtual events where we have about 25 clubs who are all people who've been hosting events for years as well, but who can't right now. And their communities are coming together online right now through a virtual platform. And, you know, we have hundreds of people who are signing on every week just to chat, connect with other couples online right now. And it's actually working out really well. And it was a little rocky at first, I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. But we've really fine-tuned it over the last few months. And the people who've developed the site, I mean, they're in the lifestyle. And they're like, we need this right now because there's nothing going on.
Right.
So they've put a lot of time into really refining it. I mean, the difference between this and some of the other sites is here, like, if you go on a Zoom site, number one, they're going to restrict your content. If they see that there's nudity or sex going on, you're probably going to get booted. And you can only have one room at a time. We're here through the Menage platform in conjunction with these other folks. You can go from room to room to room. So we have like a virtual dungeon, a virtual DJ party room, a virtual exhibition room where people can play or be watched. And, and you know, rooms where people are chatting and connecting. And, you know, while it's maybe just 10 to 20 people from each city, if you put 25 different cities together, you get a lot of people online.
Man.
Connecting.
Yeah, you basically took care of everything.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. And, you know, you don't have to leave your house to do this. You can just, there's themes every week. We had a lingerie theme last week, so you can just undress to impress, so to speak. Just open up your laptop in your bedroom with your partner or partners and just have your own little virtual party there with lots of other people.
Oh, amazing.
So
if our listeners are interested in checking this out, what website would they visit?
Just go to menagelife.com.
Okay.
So it's men age life. A lot of times people have a hard time spelling it, but yeah, menagelife.com. And all the information you need is out there front and center. You should be able to see it.
Oh, wow. And that happens once a week.
Once a week. Saturday nights we've been doing them. Yep. So typically it starts because we have a club in London that's a part of it. So it'll start with 6 p.m. Mountain Time, which is 2 a.m. over in Europe. And we'll have people who are kind of wrapping up partying over there. And then once the East Coast is in prime party time around, you know, 9, 10 o'clock East Coast time, things will shift and we'll start getting more people from the U.S. Oh. It'll just kind of move across the U.S. until about 4 or 5 in the morning.
That is so cool.
So this is worldwide.
So this is worldwide. Yeah.
Wow. All different languages spoken? Or mostly how does
English,
that work?
Mostly English-based countries. There's some Spanish as well, but yeah, English and Spanish primarily.
Wow, that is so interesting.
Yeah, but yeah, UK, Amsterdam, and then, I mean, at least 20 clubs in North America who are participating.
Well, if there's anything we've learned from doing the podcast, I mean, within the first, I want to say 6 months, we had hit 80 countries.
Yes.
Yeah. And so it's definitely not, you know, just a Colorado thing or it's just a United States thing or, you know, it's a worldwide, you know, people are interested in learning about alternate type relationships and lifestyles.
Yeah. And the internet has removed boundaries, geographical boundaries to that stuff. Correct. Where people used to just party with people in their backyard. Now people are looking for connections everywhere.
Right.
With so many people being shut down or restricted, I mean, people are looking online for this stuff now. So it's great what you guys are doing as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So then Menage Life grew so much. Is that how you came up with the idea for Play Love?
Yeah. So Play Love is a social media application, social and dating app. Okay. And initially, I mean, the mission between Menage and Play Love are very similar in that we're open to all sex positive communities. I mean, we really just see an overlap between the swinger community, the kink community, the poly community, and obviously there's different tastes and preferences that people have in these communities, but when you look at it, there's a lot of overlap as well. And we saw for sure at our events with Menage that people were coming out who were swingers who were also interested in kink or vice versa, or, you know, swingers who were opening up their relationship to more poly-type relationships.
Right.
And so we wanted, and we saw there was a lot of dissent between these groups as well that really wasn't creating acceptance or new experiences. We saw when people were open to, you know, accepting these other communities, that it created really unlimited new and unique experiences because there were things people haven't tried yet that they can now discover by trying something new. So Menage is really about bringing those communities together. And Play Love is an app that's a social and dating app really designed to do the same, but a little bit different. You know, initially Menage was going to be, we were going to do both through Menage. We were going to have a Menage app and we were going to have a Menage event company. And it just confused people. And running an event company and running an app are really different businesses.
Yeah.
Even if the core values behind them are the same, creating destigmatization, acceptance, all that. It's just different business models. And the people who you'd have on your app may not be people who you'd have at your events or vice versa. The way you run your business, there's just different things you have to think of. So Play Love is now live in Denver, though. We launched it about a month ago.
Awesome. And, congratulations.
We have 1,000 users, and we're growing very quickly. So I'm excited to see how that unfolds here in the local market.
Was this the test city?
Yeah, so Denver is a test city for that. It started as the Menage beta program, the Menage app beta program.
Okay. And I remember that.
During the beta program, we got a lot of feedback saying we're kind of confused because we also have a Menage website where people can go for virtual events.
Oh, wow.
So, and they were saying, well, is this an app for the virtual events or for, you know, profile to meet people? And it just was confusing. So determined it was smart business to just separate the two.
And so you rebranded it as Play Love.
Play Love, exactly.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Have you been helping him at all with us, Mira?
Well, I'm the cheerleader. Today was Tuesday. Titty Tuesday?
Titty Tuesday.
Okay. We're being non-gender specific.
Well, I posted today my titties, and I call it my pussy. I have my kitty cat right in between my legs.
Right.
So I don't know if I'm helping. I'm having fun as myself as a user.
Yeah.
I like to see others. I want to read what they're into.
Right.
It just, I, so yes, I'm a user.
That's,
yeah.
I love how you brought up the dissent because that when we first got involved, we nearly haven't been involved in the lifestyle as long as you have. Mm-hmm. However, when we first got involved, I noticed that right away, that the kink community kind of frowned on the swinger community, and the swinger community kind of frowned on the poly community, and they all just, it was so weird that they all were about doing something out of the norm, but still were against other people doing their things out of the norm.
Right? we thought that's so ironic, you know? It's like, very. Really?
You know, because ideally, love is love, right? I mean, that's our new slogan here at Monogamish. Love is love. You shouldn't, whether it's you love your wife and you want her to see pleasure, you know, see pleasure with somebody else, male or female, or whether it's you love your wife and your girlfriend and they love each other and you guys are great as a throuple, or, you know, it shouldn't matter. Love is love, and we should never be having dissent towards anybody who loves or kinks, of course, unless there's not consent involved.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad that you brought that up and that you're trying to bridge that gap between those communities.
Yeah. And it's easy to generalize too, because there are people who feel strongly that their way is the right way. And I find most people don't feel that way. Most people are open to things outside of their beliefs. And the people who don't feel that way are entitled to their beliefs too, right?
100%. That's valid.
That's free speech.
Yeah.
We can't shame them for shaming other people. We can, but that's counterproductive to our goal.
Right. And that goes even with the straight monogamous community.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like we had spoke before the podcast started, it's very normal for adultery, for lying, for cheating to be, you know, to be accepted. Yeah. Like your family said, get a car and move on.
Yeah, that's just what people do. Yeah, if you love them, just suck it up. It's okay. You don't need to have sex ever.
Right.
That's not important at all. Right?
Yeah. You know what? One of our favorite.
You got the car, though, right? You got the car. That's all that matters.
Right. One of our favorite subreddits that we found and stumbled upon that we can't believe is a subreddit called Dead Bedrooms, where we will see people that have been married for 15, 20 years and haven't had sex for like 10. Yeah. And they're just going absolutely nuts and trying to figure out how to approach the topic of non-monogamy or, you know, things like that to find a fix to their issues.
Yeah.
But they love their partner. They love their partner in every other way, but are so tired of a dead bedroom. And it's very, very hard. And that's what we're trying to also change, is making it easier to be able to come to your partner and discuss these things and make sure that as a partner, you're meeting, you know, your partner's needs.
It's so hard. We're not trained to have those conversations.
No.
From birth.
Sex is taboo.
Yeah.
And that's why we're all here.
I mean, monogamous sex is taboo. Imagine, hey, baby, I'd like to talk about having a threesome and, you know, sucking another guy's cock with you. Could you not, like, how do you bring that up?
Right.
Or hit me harder.
Or hit me harder.
I know. You know?
Inside joke.
Laughed even harder because just yesterday, he's like, if you don't stop saying I'm sorry for things, I'm going to have to choke you out. And then I'm going to have to scream at everybody, she likes this. It's okay.
Even though she's screaming, it's okay.
It's consensual.
It's consensual.
She asked for it. So that's why we got an extra chuckle with that comment. No, absolutely. I'm so play love, where ideally, what's your goal? It's to be worldwide?
World domination! We want to be the world's leading resource for the sex positive community. That's way down the road, though. We have a long way to go to get there. Right now, we want to prove in Denver that people want this.
Oh, and they do. It's all over.
And I think there's a couple different groups of people. There's people who are already active in sex positive communities. They have profiles on a lot of established sites.
Mm-hmm.
They just are frustrated that those sites don't have a good mobile platform.
Right.
Or they're on other mobile friendly sites, but they're frustrated because those sites aren't conducive to sex positivity.
Right.
They're limiting, they're restricting. And then you have another group of people for whom they're just afraid to be on anything. There's shame because of the stigmatization around this stuff, where whatever's available is either intimidating or they have some internal block that's keeping them from feeling okay with who they are and engaging. So, right. And we want to capture that group too. We believe what's out there now caters to people who are comfortable owning their sex positivity, but we think there's a group, and we have to do the research still, but we think there's a lot of people who aren't comfortable with it because they're afraid of being shamed or talked down to, or there's some internal battle around owning that identity.
Right.
And we want to give them the resources to do that.
So how do you combat keeping everybody's information private on these sites, mm-hmm. and making sure that, you know, their pictures or their likeness yeah. isn't used against them?
It's a great question. I wish my CTO were here to go into technical details about how we do that. Right. But I can assure you we are following best practices around that and standards, and we're currently developing some other features that will allow our members to certify other members as well.
That's wonderful.
What I will also say is no matter how hard we try, nothing is bulletproof.
No.
Because there's always people out there trying to find backdoors, ways to do this stuff. But we are going to learn from everything that's already been done and take it a step beyond that to protect people.
That's awesome.
And, you know, we're happy to go into more specifics about that. I can have our CTO do that.
It's just, it's one of those concerns. I can't remember the website.
Adult Friend Finder.
Well, that's yeah. one of many, but there's been yeah. several like that
Ashley
that
Madison
have been hacked.
Was the big Bam. Scandal.
Ashley Madison. There, yeah. That's the one that I was thinking of. Yeah. yeah.
And people are, it's a legitimate concern. There's a lot of people who don't even want to sign up for an account on something like this because they're afraid of being outed or something right. like that Ashley Madison scandal happening, and all of a sudden their information is leaked publicly mm-hmm. that they're on some sex positive kink site, and right. you know, what do they do?
Right. And it's hard. We interviewed somebody, Ruth, who has gotten in, you know, went from completely vanilla headfirst into now full blown porn, mm-hmm. and facial recognition programs caused her regular friends to be shown, you might know this person, on one of her sex positive pages.
Right.
And it was hard for her. You know, it was something she had to get a call from her sister saying, you know, my son found this, your nephew found you online, and yep. freaking out, all because of facial recognition between the two programs. Said, this is somebody you might know.
I think a lot is people being smart in what you post there.
Yes.
You know, one is like the app and the legal side. And the other one, I have seen people posted their work ID.
Oh.
And I was like, oh my goodness, you work in the same hospital. you know, that's, and I know what position, your name, everything. So posting the things that you know that it's going to be safe,
right.
that makes a huge, you're doing a little bit of effort, I right. guess.
And also having the right platform for it. Yeah. You know, having a sex positive site on Instagram and Facebook isn't really...
It's tough.
There's kids involved. There's a lot, you know, there's family involved. It's a mm-hmm. it's a route that not a lot of, you know, our only fans or, you know, even just people that are regular swingers want to be able to share that on those sites because it can be shared amongst people that they don't want to know.
Right. It's really hard to limit and groom groups on mainstream social media sites like that. Because they're constantly recommending to users that they invite people to groups who may not be part of that community, who may not be, I hate to say, a good fit, because we want to be open to everybody.
Right.
But they're not, those are people who aren't actively seeking out those communities. And a lot right. of times they're not furthering the mission of those communities. It's just bringing internet drama.
Right.
And when you go on, we were just talking about this on the drive down here, when you go on sites that are custom designed for sex positivity, you don't see as much of that. Or if you see drama, it's community drama. It's not just internet drama.
Yeah.
And I don't think Facebook, because I talk to our users, we have over 5,000 people in the Menage group on Facebook. And they want us to, they're concerned about the amount of divisiveness, polarization in the communities, and how the group has digressed and just become like everything else on the internet. I don't know that we have a way to control that on a platform like Facebook. Mm-mm. I think on sex-positive platforms, like what we're doing with PlayLove, it's one of the reasons we designed PlayLove.
Right.
Is because sites like Facebook and Instagram, you can't post adult content. They're constantly right. censoring what you do. And I can't fight them. If I go fight for one user out of 5,000 who they've decided to block because they posted something Facebook deemed inappropriate, it's going to put my group at risk. And and everybody else at risk. So right. it's just not the right place to fight those battles. I'd rather go create a platform that is welcoming to sex-positive communities and is accessible to mobile users.
Plus, I think the great idea behind PlayLove is it's just for that. It's mm-hmm. not, you're not going on there to share your political views or share your, mm-hmm. you know, your bitch about work or bitch about the person that you ran into at the grocery store that did something that you, you know, you didn't agree with. Mm-hmm. And so I love that it's a community just for that. Mm-hmm. Is it a pay app or how does that work right
now? Free for a limited time. Okay. We aren't, I mean, all the features you see now will probably be free forever.
Okay.
And we're really at this point looking to see what people want and what they're willing to pay for. But no, it's currently free.
Okay. You know what I want is to be able to just own my content, yeah. not have somebody else use it. And yeah. so when I post a picture that's for Titty Tuesday or Topless Tuesday, sorry, mm-hmm. Topless Tuesday, we're being...
Thank you. Natural. Thank you for doing that. Yeah. There you go. Yeah, 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 yeah.
So when we post something for Topless Tuesday, I want to know that my picture's not going to end up on another website or, you know, mm-hmm. things like that that I can control that yeah. my group of friends or whoever I've deemed allowed on that site.
It's hard in today's day and age because people are sharing more sexual stuff now more publicly than ever before.
I know.
And while we can put something in our code that keeps people from taking a screenshot of your photo, that doesn't mean their friend can't take a picture of it with their phone and then go right. share it publicly. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So if people want to cheat the system, they're going to find a way, no matter how hard we try to keep them from doing that.
I agree.
I mean, and like she said, if you're really worried about that, some common sense comes into play there.
Of what you're willing
to
post.
But if you're putting something online...
I think I learned years ago in Craigslist, I was supposedly flirting with someone, and the person was like, oh, can you send me a picture like this? So it was a more personalized conversation. That person was in England, and everything that I gave him, it was used in a different way. So I learned that time that anything that I'll send or post online, it's always going to be up in the air.
Right.
And I learned to be okay with it and to choose what I put up there.
Right.
And I am okay right now with that.
But that can be with anything. I mean, you know, I remember that as a teenager growing up and my mom saying, don't write it down if you don't want anybody to see it, if it's not something that you're willing to share with anybody.
Right.
And sure enough, I wrote a letter to my boyfriend that my parents found and it didn't have some appropriate stuff in there. And so I learned my lesson
can you read it
at
on air
an early
yet?
Age.
Yeah. I think you should read that next. Do you have it here?
I do not have that letter here. I was
shoebox.
Beyond
yeah.
my years.
Underneath the bed at home.
Shoebox Diaries, right? Yeah, yeah. That's for another program.
So, yeah, I learned my lesson really quickly with that one, that if you don't want it to be out there, you better not have a record of it anyway, whether it's a picture or you write it down or you say it on a recorded line. It's there forever.
We just have to change with whatever's happening.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Exactly. So, Menage Life, when do you foresee events picking back up again? Do you think it'll be once we have a vaccine?
2021 is our goal. We have plans for events in 2021 in the works currently. We're planning to go back to Vegas and do something in Vegas in 2021.
Nice.
We're also scouting out Cancun for an international destination event in Cancun next year.
Oh, nice.
It's all going to depend on COVID there. I mean, it's got to be safe.
Right.
There's so many unknowns at this point, we can't really say when that's going to be, but... We know at some point people are going to get back to doing events, and so are
right.
we.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's going to get back to normal sometime.
Yeah, right?
It'll
some
be
point.
The new normal.
The new normal. Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
are
body
you
condoms.
From Cancun?
I grew up there, yes, 19 years.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
Before COVID hit, that was going to be our wintertime home, is right off Riviera Maya, right between Cancun and Playa del Carmen.
Mm-hmm.
Puerto Morelos.
I almost moved there.
Yes.
Oh,
you
know.
Oh, I love it there.
We had a romantic vacation there a couple years ago.
Oh,
it's gorgeous.
Yeah,
we could then go and visit you.
It's one of our hands down favorite places. Unfortunately, the place that we were looking at was more of a condo style building. And when COVID hit, my husband was like, nope, if we're doing it, we want a house and we want kind of our own space until we at least know it's safe. And then.
Yeah.
Found it safer in Cancun than here.
Really?
When we went in COVID, it was August.
Yeah.
Because we went to give a couple massage. We went to the ocean. We went to an eco-friendly tour. We're probably going off subject. But it's definitely Cancun. You should definitely
go. Don't say that because we're trying to go like tomorrow. Tomorrow.
I have a friend that she's right now there. And after the hurricanes, like nothing happened.
No way. Yeah. Oh,
duck. I know.
Yeah. So COVID, hurricane, it's still there. It's amazing.
It's tourism is the main business there.
It is.
It's amazing, though, how they've responded to the situation and the measures they've put in place so they can protect tourism, as opposed to, like, Vegas, where they stayed shut down for so long and there's still issues with them getting reopened.
Right.
The efficiency and the processes they had in place in Mexico was really impressive.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you guys are making us
Every building excited. We came in, they took our temperatures, they cleaned our shoes, they ask you a bunch of questions. Every building you came in.
The other benefit you have there is there's no debate about it because people just do what the government says.
Oh, right.
In the U.S., everybody has an opinion about something. Right. So, you know, often things don't get done because of that. Yeah.
What cracks me up is that we went through this apparently prior to my time, but back in the 60s and 70s when seatbelts were becoming a huge thing, everybody was like, I'm not going to wear a seatbelt. They're not going to make me wear a seatbelt.
Yeah.
And now it's like all over again with a face mask. Like, they're trying to tell you to wear a seatbelt to save your life, honey. This goes the same way.
Okay, I'll wear it, just not when I'm in the car.
I know, it kills me.
I think it was the same thing with condoms when they came out. People were like, what? No.
Yeah. I'm not going to wrap this up.
Exactly.
I got a meme today. Somebody tagged me, and they were COVID condoms, and they were knit condoms. So. Knit wool.
Or my favorite meme from, I don't know if you know Mickey. Do you know Mickey from The Ranch?
I don't think so. No.
Mickey sent me our favorite meme, and it was a... full body condom, and it said, "Not today, COVID. Not today." from head to toe. That's one of my favorite ones at the start of quarantine.
I like the positioning of like, "Oh, we're going to meet," and then like, "Oh no, just turn around."
I know.
And then that's like, your face is 6 feet away.
There we go.
The Temptations Resort, they had a great way of doing this in Cancun. So their 6 feet sign was. A girl who had her legs spread 6 feet apart, like on a stripper pole, and said, you must be this far apart
at all times. It's very sexy and it's still safe and clean for COVID. So.
Oh, that is so cool.
I know. COVID puts an extra damper on this lifestyle because it is so physical. And even if it's not people that we play with, everybody in the lifestyle, we hug them, we kiss them. It's like
it's a touchy feely community.
Yeah. We love each other, and it's been very hard.
And you're kind of like doing the
know.
What do I do?
Because we are already sex positive, we are at the same time. If I have herpes, I'm going to tell you.
Yeah,
and I do believe that even though we are so open. If I get a feeling that I might have COVID from somebody else before even going to meet you, I will tell you.
Right.
So I do have a confidence that this lifestyle, we do take care of each other because we have some values that I have not had sex with someone in the lifestyle that they won't tell me if they have something that I should know about.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that deceiving, that doesn't happen. So if people have like a sense that they might be getting sick, they're usually responsible sharing that information and taking care of you.
They are.
I will agree. That is very big within our community. They're very positive.
Or self-quarantining, you know? Oh, you know, hey, we just got back from Sturgis or something. We're just going to go and stay home for a little bit, you know?
We had for almost 3 weeks after Cancun. I didn't get together with friends because I don't feel sick, but you don't know, right?
Right.
Let's make sure. We were on a plane. We traveled. And, I mean, we went to see your family. We weren't staying in a resort or partying, really. But you never know, right?
Right.
Right?
You never know.
It is one of those things that I do appreciate about our community is, again, it comes down to communication.
Yeah.
And communication is big. It has to be within this community because, you know, I need to know that your partner's okay with this for my benefit and for yours, you know, and for my partner's benefit. And so it's so much communication that happens that you're right. When there's something that comes up, most of the time people, 99% of the time, people are like, listen, I have a little bit of a scratchy throat. I don't think it's anything, but I think it's safe if we just reschedule.
Yeah, that and the respect value.
Yeah.
You know, hey, you know, just they're at least they're saying something.
I know.
You know, they could just shut the hell up. hell up.
That's huge, because I think that's a mistaken thing in our community for outsiders. They think that we don't respect ourselves or our body because of what we do. And that's just not the case. If anything, I feel like I respect myself and my body more. I'm going to be more careful and try to prevent myself from getting sick, because I know I come into close contact with other people more often. And so I think it's great that, you know, knock on wood, knock on the glass here. So far, it's been very safe. We haven't had any huge outbreaks within our communities that I've heard of, at least. So, ideally, when you do your events, tell us how an event would run. Like, what does a typical event look like for you?
You know, it's different depending on where we do them. I mean, the ones we do in Vegas, they're big productions where we're buying out a whole hotel. We have pool parties during the day, themed events at night.
Oh, wow.
We have like workshops and panels for lots of different topics. Playrooms are tough right now because of COVID. Okay. But, yeah, typically we'll have large rooms, a group room as well as a dungeon.
Your panels and your discussions, what are those typically running about? Like different kinks or?
Yeah, really it's up to the community to decide what they want to present. And we get all sorts of different topics that people approach us with. Typically we try to have some stuff that's common, like how to deal with jealousy, how to talk to your partner, communication skills, you know, those kind of things that that are common areas that everybody shares. And then, stuff that's more specific. We've had BDSM 101 classes every year for the last 10 years where a local Vegas group comes out and demonstrates that. Or we'll demonstrate flogging or tying or some other kink that people want to learn.
Wow. So, this is the part that I had no idea. So you're about education,
too. Oh, absolutely. Education is one of our core values. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That makes me love you guys even more now. Yeah. because I thought it was all about partying and dancing and having fun.
Yeah, it's a lot about that, too. But, I mean, all of that is in service of connections, fun, fantasy fulfillment, self-expression. I mean, that's what it's really all about. And, you know, the parties are a vehicle for that, really. Right. But when people go to Vegas, of course they party, right? But they're not partying 24/7. And in between that crazy night you had and the next night you go out, learning about how to tie somebody up or how to deal with that jealousy issue you had because you had a threesome 2 weeks ago, or, hey, we're new and we've never really done this. What are some issues that new couples deal with? Or these are issues we're dealing with. How have other people solved them? Those are things that people want to know. And ultimately, that's what keeps you in the community, right? That kind of stuff.
That's very interesting. Yeah. I'm glad that you do that.
You know, and locally here, there are more one-night events. In Denver, the mansion parties are a lot of fun. We're trying to provide just a different experience than you can find anywhere else. So it's upscale but not stuffy. So you think of checking into your favorite B&B somewhere in the mountains where, you know, everything is very nice and plush. You check in, they roll out the red carpet for you, but you don't feel like you have to put on a suit or be prim and proper in order to have a good time. So we just want to provide all the finishing touches and give people an environment where they can mingle no matter what part of the community they're from. And if you want to play, you can play too, but it's in a classy, upscale environment.
So do you typically have an age range for your events?
Yeah, it's all across the board, really. Okay. I'd say 25 to 45 is probably the median. And it really is all ranges. And it depends event to event, theme to theme, honestly.
Okay. Just like in the community.
Just like in the community, And we don't try to target, we're not, you know, the group that's just for young people.
Young and fit.
Young and hot. Yeah. I mean, there's people that do that, and we appreciate that, too. Everybody should do what they want. That's just not our thing.
Right.
You know, we're looking to bring all these different sex-positive communities together where there's overlap and help provide new and unique experiences for them.
I got to tell you, theme nights are my favorite. Yeah. Like, that's getting it. I tell the girls and I tell a lot of my vanilla friends who are outside of this, I'm like, it's like Halloween every week. There's a different theme. And I'm like, ooh, what am I wearing for the nautical?
It's Slutoween every week, right?
Slutoween. But Halloween is Slutoween.
But it is now, right? We just did an article for Playlove on how Halloween got to be so sexy.
It was our
blog article last week.
It's the one time
of crazy.
Year
yeah.
prior to... you know, the new age where sex positivity is coming in more and more every year. It's getting more accepted.
Yeah.
But prior to this, it was the one time of year as a female where you could truly dress as a slut and not be condemned for it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so
guys
in the lifestyle.
Too.
In the lifestyle, it's so much fun.
Yeah,
because we can do that every night.
Yeah, I know.
It's like so much fun. You don't just have to do pimp and hoe on Halloween.
Right.
You can do it every night. Yeah.
The middle of August.
The middle of August. That's great.
So you guys, how do you classify your relationship? Would you say you're swingers, poly?
We're actually monogamous right now.
Oh. Congratulations.
And not in.
We started like that.
Yeah, no, we didn't start like that. We started wide open 5 years ago. And we're both kind of exploring different things at the time. But we've chosen to be monogamous right now just because we're really, number one, we're really just, that's all we want right now. We've never really just focused on each other.
Uh-huh.
And when I looked at, when we both look at relationships that really work, the ones that we admire and fit most closely with what we both want, people take time to build trust. People put, right. Partnership is about sometimes putting your partner before yourself. Mm-hmm. And we'd never done that for each other, at least not sexually. And
I was just wanting to add,
yeah.
The night that I went and said, yes, I want to jump into this relationship,
mm-hmm.
He was DJing, and the person I next sat down next to her, just seeing how she was looking at him, I instantly knew that she loved him. So when we started as a relationship, we already kind of had our own little threesome,
our little triad.
Our relationship started already with sharing.
Mm.
And I love this woman, so I still love her so much. We're very, very best friends. But that's, so we started right up from that beginning. And it kind of evolves many, like, ups and downs.
Uh-huh.
And then recently when we reconnected, we were like, you know, I think we need to have some foundations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we can go back.
Oh, and nice. And that's important. And I love that you, it's not the traditional way of being in the lifestyle. You started in the lifestyle and then you kind of came out of it, mm-hmm. but you still have that option. People don't realize, like, if you want to try this with your partner, mm-hmm. you're not stuck to it for life. If you open up your relationship and it doesn't fit for you guys 6 months later, you can close your relationship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people think that there's only one way you can do this and one way it's going to work. And if I say yes, I have to say yes forever. And that's not the case. And so I love that you shared that with us, that you guys are really working on your foundation and trying to be good as a monogamous couple before opening up to possibly poly or lifestyle in the future.
And it's, I've had more orgies than I can count at this point. And I know if I never have another one again, I'm not going to feel like I left anything on the table at this point.
Right.
I think what's important is that people have a choice.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so many people choose monogamy because they think it's the only choice that they have.
Right.
Without exploring that it really can work to have honest communication, trust, all the things that you need to have consensual non-monogamy work, and that actually works for people. And I was afraid of, like you said, there were people in the community that would shun us for saying we're going to be monogamous for a while. And I actually had good friends in the community come to me and say, look, I think you're more worried about how you're going to be perceived than how much you love this girl.
Right.
And mm-hmm. if you want this, you need to have it, and screw them. And I just looked. All the people I look up to and admire in the community, they have a foundation of trust, communication.
Mm-hmm.
So if they are going to play, it's not, there's no fear that that person's going to go run off with somebody else.
Right.
And running off with somebody else works for a lot of people. That's just not what she and I are looking for. We want a long-term partner. And we're kinky as fuck, so we're going to probably want to play again at some point too. But right now, just being focused on each other really, really works for us. We've even talked about, she sent me a text yesterday. Hey, if we open up the relationship, you know, maybe we could do it this way. And so, the conversation's still there. It's just a different conversation because there's no pressure to play mm-hmm. in the background constantly.
Right.
And it's not like, well, you've got this date in 2 weeks that I have to worry about, or, you know, that guy whose dick is bigger than mine, or whatever it is that is going on.
Right.
Is not an issue at this point. And we can just focus on each other and on building trust, which is really, really great.
That's awesome. That actually gave me goosebumps, Sante.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love that you guys have that type of love that screw everybody else. Nobody, this is your relationship. This is nobody else's relationship. And so you guys are doing exactly what makes you happy, and that's
what you should.
Yeah. And I really, what I want is if we're going to do this again, for it to be partnership.
Right.
Not my way or the highway, which is kind of what it's been up until now.
With your former partners?
Or with, even with her, like when we first started, it was...
You really like threesomes? And they're fun and everything, but...
Like what guy doesn't, right?
I have to... It was hard for me to
surprise.
Open up, but I have to tell him, like, sweetie, I love you and all, but it's just one cock. You know, there's, you know, having... And one day, we broke a record.
Baby, your dick is amazing and all, but...
We had, like, five girls, and we were five girls on him, and it was really... I had a drill dough. And it was so much
fun. A drill dough. I love it.
I drilled the girl. It was just, like, it was very fun. And at the end of it, I was like, well, yeah, I think I didn't come.
Yeah.
And, oh, no.
And right? Yeah, yeah, eventually I did, but not in that session. And right. I had to, like, say, hi, sweetie, like, you know, let's...
Can I borrow your toy for a second?
Yeah. We had to have those conversations. So right now it's really nice that we know our fetishes.
Uh-huh.
He is pansexual, not bisexual. I recently learned that difference. But we can talk about what cock is better or, you know, form and anatomy and really have fun with it, having that conversation. So building that trust is not only like romantically, but at the same time, noticing our fetishes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And
still getting your needs met. Because yes, for you, right. Are you bisexual or pan or what are you?
I call him bicurious.
Bicurious?
Yeah. Like I can curiosity play with a girl. I don't fall in love with a girl. I do think, and we talked about how girls are sexy. Like I like the logo of your biting. Oh, yeah, like so sexy. But yeah, no, I'm not. I haven't had a just girl and girl
relationship.
Yeah, no, but I do have fun with them. I think they're beautiful, and it's always fun. And you have that relationship and trust. Yeah.
No, that's awesome that you guys are so communicative with each other, because that really is the key to any successful relationship, whether it's monogamy or not, is having communication and being able to talk to your partner about your needs and making sure that those needs are met.
Yeah.
And, you know, for us, it's never been about having, you know, a need that was unfulfilled. Like, we have so much fun. Our chemistry has been off the charts from day one. When I first met him, he was living with his brother, and I brought his brother sleeping pills and you know, earplugs and stuff, because we would have so much fun that I knew it was driving his brother crazy. And so it's just gotten better over time.
the first night, my brother just, like, watched her walk out. It was just like, what the hell did you do to her? I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, dude, my room's right next door. Like, what the hell did you do to her?
So for us, it's always been about more enhancement. Yeah. He's straight, I'm bi, and... you know, if we bring in another girl or if we're in an orgy or something, it's more like just enhancement for us. It's not, you know, it's not like, unfortunately, the situation that you were in previously where I just am starving for an orgasm.
No. So, I'll always make sure she gets off.
You do too.
I always get off.
You always get off. That's awesome, though, that you guys are doing that. And so do you think that you'll eventually, you said you're so kinky, that you'll probably eventually ease back into opening? Or?
You know, it's funny. I don't want to say yes or no. Probably. I mean, we've talked about it a lot.
Yeah.
And we keep, you know, it's really actually Vera, she'll get on Play Love and, hey, I saw this profile today that I think, you know.
Oh, it's Vera.
I said I'm a user.
She's just doing quality control.
I'm kind of like right now. Honestly, I'm like, baby, I just love what we have right now. I'm enjoying this. But nobody's really pushing hard for that. I foresee, yeah. I mean, just because I know how kinky and sexual we both are.
Uh-huh.
And if and when we do it, I want it to be partnership. I want it to be enhancing something for both of us, not just to be about one of us fulfilling something that selfishly,
right,
if you will.
And the great thing about this community is that nobody's keeping tabs. Mm-hmm. Nobody's saying, oh, Sante hasn't fucked somebody else this week. Let's mark that on the calendar. You know, nobody, yeah. We're all about supporting each other and being positive with another, with one another. The yeah. only thing I feel like is people have problems with is, again, if that lying, because it'll still creep up in the community. I don't yeah. know if it's happened within your circles, but for some reason, there are still people out there that just like the secretiveness of, I'm going to fuck you without your husband or your wife knowing. Mm-hmm. And
we have had people do that, yes.
Yeah, I think that's probably frowned on upon more than, oh, you don't want to fuck anybody else, you're just fucking your yeah. wife right now.
Yeah, with the lifestyle, I have seen some people play twice a year sometimes, and sometimes right. they play every weekend. Every single
time.
And, yeah. And it, nobody, like you said, nobody's taking tabs, and it's not frowned right. upon. But definitely if you go against somebody else's yeah. relationship.
Right.
And yeah. that's where in agreements, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what we talked about, like, going and playing with fire.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
It's because, a different kind of fire.
Right. And it shouldn't happen like that. I mean, communication and honesty are, you know, the keys to any foundation.
It's usually pretty good about weeding out cheaters. Mm-hmm. Because it's just the antithesis of what we're about here, right?
Right.
And you have people who... Like we were talking about divisiveness between the kink and swinger community. Even within the swinger community, you have people who feel if you don't play all the time, you're not really a swinger. But, I mean, the reality is both of us were pretty selective before we found the lifestyle.
Right.
I wasn't out sleeping with somebody new every weekend ever in my life.
Right.
There were times where I was a little more promiscuous and sexual than others, but...
They were all friends and yeah, people that but, you cared for.
Yeah.
Yeah, and most of the... what I found... Unilaterally, in 17 years of doing this, the lifestyle is more about friendships and connections than anything else.
100%.
I think the biggest misconception about this lifestyle is you, like, walk into an orgy wherever yeah. you're at. You know, you have to, and you yeah. have to go and play, you know. Yeah. But you don't have to.
You don't.
Can be selective as you want.
And that's
you
know? What keeps, you know, like we were talking about with Play Love, there's a group of people who have that internal block who feel like if I get on a site like FetLife or Play Love or that I'm automatically going to be expected to be this level of kinky or get yeah, into right. an orgy if I go to a party mm-hmm. when it's not the case. It's a journey for everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
And everybody's sex drive is different. I think just because you're in the lifestyle or in the kink community doesn't necessarily mean that there's some people that we know that are in these communities that are perfectly satisfied with having sex once a month or once every couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. What, then you have my husband who needs it once every hour.
Mm-hmm. I'm like right in between
every
there.
Every other hour. Come on.
We got to wrap this up soon, right?
I do have a calendar on the OCD, and in the calendar I write the number of, like, my partner that I had sex with that day. And
so you keep tabs.
So
yes.
she's got a diary going back like 10 years or
yeah.
something.
Yeah. Oh, so like, at first it was like, if something happens, like with STDs or pregnancy, like I could go back and check.
Right.
And it started like with my periods, and then it started with my husband when I was married with him. I was like, when was the last time I had sex? Oh my gosh, it was 8 months ago.
So oh, wow.
That's,
oh
my that's God. When I noticed like how bad was it. It was like, I was seeing it was my birthday, Valentine's and Christmas, three times a year. So it started like that. And right now I'm noticing that whenever I was with a partner and we only had sex five times a month, he was bi the next month. Like we broke up.
Oh, wow.
And so I have noticed that that's has been a pattern.
And then Sante comes in.
He actually...
Number 14. that's
Mike's husband was number 4. When I met Sante, he was 14.
she's up to like 28 now or something.
29.
29.
Oh, sorry. She's always 29. Look at her. I love it.
That's awesome.
I love that as a female that you can feel that because it was so shunned. We're never allowed to say that we want sex.
And I'm Mexican and it's very Catholic.
Very.
And, yeah. When,
very religious.
When I opened up with my parents because Santa's on the line and if you Google Santa, I was like, oh, if they know, I prefer them hearing about me.
Right. From
so
you.
I told them and it wasn't pretty. It was horrible to say the least. But right now I don't care.
Right.
Because they know. And right. we already had that conversation. They even asked if I was bi, and I'm like, Mom, how much do you want to know? And then she stopped questioning. So they might know if I have played with girls, and they know when to shut up. And my dad even asked Santa, like, are you not fulfilling her? Like, and I had to say, like,
can't you learn what she likes?
Yes! Oh, that's what my dad said.
Wow, what an awkward conversation.
So it was very hard for me to accept. And that's why other apps are not good for me, because I have noticed in other apps, if I say I want sex, they instantly think that I will just say yes on the first date.
Right.
And I have liked, one of the things that I like about PlayLove is that people know that I'm sexual and I can have fetishes, but doesn't mean I'm going to go to bed right now.
Right.
We can have a conversation. We can meet. I have felt, I have answered a ad and it was, give me oral now. And we talked, had a movie, we met. It was really nice. Having those experiences, I think, in the apps and in the lifestyle, they're so much better than just normal other apps that they're out there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's why PlayLove. I it works for me, and even though I'm not out there playing yet, but it just, yeah, I like it.
That's awesome. I'm glad. I can just tell you're beaming. I mean, you've probably made your wife the happiest with this app.
she's seen it evolve, well, for sure.
Yeah. I'm like the cheerleader, and I'm like, no, this doesn't work. It's too male. It needs to be female rhythm. I criticize him a lot.
Except for the dick pics. You love the dick pics. where most people are like,
him and Dan, they work together. And I'm always like haunting them with like little things to do.
She's really objective though with feedback and presents a good woman's opinion.
Good.
I mean, because she really does represent what a lot of women in the community are looking for. Which, and obviously, we don't just take Vera's opinion and only Vera's opinion.
Right.
But her feedback is always very on point and valid.
I lost on the logo. Yeah. I wanted a different logo.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, we've said it before, this lifestyle is really driven by women quite a bit, especially on the swinger side.
Yeah.
Maybe not as much on the kink side.
Everywhere.
But
if you look at dating sites, it's the same way.
That
people, sites like Bumble were created so that women had to make the first move because women were getting so many unsolicited messages that it was scaring them away.
Or dick pics.
And every site, or dick pics, and sites just turned into porn sites if you leave it up to guys.
Right.
Unfortunately, sorry guys, but
yeah.
Y'all did this.
You guys fucked it up for us.
And even for the kink community, because the sub most of the times are females, and the females are the ones that say yes, even though they're not their subs, in the bedroom they choose yes.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Which is crazy because, if a lot of people don't understand how that relationship with a dom and sub works, but really the sub is in control. Mm-hmm. They get to dictate what they will and will not tolerate. Mm-hmm. It's just done in the beginning.
Yeah.
So then the dom can take control from there.
Right. Yeah.
And so, just being able to express that, being able to, as a female, saying, I have needs, I want this, this is something I'm interested in. I feel like there's so many guys out there that, like your dad said, don't know what their wives want. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And in this case, it would just happen to be the exact opposite. He knows exactly what you want. And that's why you guys are in this type of a relationship.
He asked me too. He's like, how come you can't be monogamous for my daughter? And I said, if I chose to be monogamous for your daughter, I don't think she'd want to be with me. Because she'd know that it's not what either of us want right now.
Right.
Probably slapped your mouth.
Yeah. Like, what
talk about my daughter like that?
It was hard. It was a hard conversation. And all that's behind us. We have a great relationship now. That's come a long way since that first conversation.
Right. And they see
it.
Yeah. They see, I'm sure,
the idea that it's just so ingrained in us and has been for so many years that one partner, that love and sex are synonymous. Then once you meet the one, that you let them fulfill everything for you, that you never look outside the relationship, all that stuff. It's been it's been going on for so long. Or that it's hedonistic or selfish if you do it. Not looking at it like, hey, I like Italian food and I like Chinese food too. And I love my grandmother's lasagna and sauce. That's my favorite food. I mean, and Vera, it's probably her favorite food now too. But if we ate it every day for the rest of our lives, we'd probably get bored with it.
Right.
And go, man, I miss that Mugu Gai pan. Like,
And that's the great thing about it.
That was delicious, though.
And that's the great thing about it is that you can really, in this day and age, you can pick and choose what works for you and your partner or partners and your relationship.
Yeah.
And I love that you're here sharing it with us. That's awesome.
I know, we appreciate it, guys. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. You're welcome. Talking to you guys.
I'd love it if you got us the information and kept us updated on any events that you have coming.
Yeah.
We'd love to share those on our site.
Do you want me to give the Play Love and Menage info here? Or just
please.
Okay.
Please.
So Play Love is, if you want to download the app, it's app.playlove.co.
Okay.
Or you can just go to playlove.co. Either way, I'll get you there. And then Menage is menagelife.com. So Menage is for events. PlayLove is if you're looking for a social and dating app for sex-positive communities.
Okay. And is PlayLove available on both Android and iPhone?
Yep. So if you go to app.playlove.co, there's instructions for both iPhone and Android on there. So just click iPhone or Android and follow the instructions. Super simple. If you have problems, there's a way to contact us as well. So
okay.
So they're not on the store or the app store?
It's not on the app store. It's too hot for the app store right now. Eventually we're going to be there, but right now we didn't want that to be the bottleneck in getting this out there for people.
Right.
And it's working just great without being in the app store. So yeah, for now in Denver, app.playlove.co.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, guys. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for having us again. We look forward to your events opening back up and participating in some of those. And definitely, while Play Love is still free, we're going to make sure that we jump on there and
absolutely.
Get signed up.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to that verification process too. I love that little niche on some of the other sites from before.
The certification, yeah, it makes a difference.
Makes you feel like you are talking to this person that's behind the pictures and makes you feel a little bit more comfortable with it. So
definitely.
I appreciate that. Thank you guys again for joining us.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So thank you for tuning in to Monogamish. Remember that we have a new episode dropping every Monday, and we're going to be changing that to 2 episodes weekly, Mondays and Wednesdays, starting next month in November. Oh my gosh.
I know.
Next month
weeks.
Is November.
Weeks.
It's getting late already. So make sure you check us out. Also, visit our website at monogamishpodcast.com and sign up for our ish list so you know whenever any episodes are going to drop. And also be on the lookout for new merchandise. We're going to be dropping new merchandise soon, available on our website. So that's one great way that you can support us. Otherwise, give us a like, subscribe, especially on Spotify, iHeartRadio, all those great apps. And you can also catch us now on YouTube.
Oh,
so if you'd prefer to watch our episodes versus just listening to them, you can catch us there on YouTube.